As we prepare to enter into a time of prayer, you may notice a couple of prayer quilts here. Please take time after the service to tie a knot and say a prayer for each one of them. And now would you please join me in prayer. Merciful and loving God, you are infinitely good and gracious. You are with us from the beginning, and you will be there at the end. You send us our first birthday greeting in giving us the gift of life. Your thinking of you messages follow us as we move on down the road. You offer blessings each year for those who are married and others. Your encouraging words strengthen us during difficult times. You shower us with love as we suffer with ailments. Your sympathy comforts us when loved ones are lost. Lord, we don't need to receive a greeting card to know of your comforting and healing presence. Shine your guiding light on our paths so we choose directions that glorify you. Bless our relationships with family, friends, and others, so we are able to accomplish much in the name of Jesus. Comfort us as the pressures of life seem to close in, so we are better able to focus on your plan. Soften the hearts of those filled with anger to lead them toward peace instead of violence. Heavenly Father, your greeting cards are there for us. We simply need to check our mail for your presence. We can also send thank you cards or concerns to you through prayer. Hear us now as we silently offer gratitude and concerns for your consideration. Thank you for hearing the petitions brought to your attention. Thank you for giving unique gifts for use in your service. All gifts are important, just as all jobs are important. Help us do our best with the gifts we have toward your glory. Help us to find callings that seek your approval, not man's approval, so we find joy in work and do everything for the good. Jesus finished his work with important lessons and sacrifice for our sins. Hear us now as we join together in reciting the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today's scripture lesson comes from the book of Luke, chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation, while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything, you cannot be my disciples. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As we are here on Labor Day weekend, most of us remember back when we were employed, some of us still are, or that first time we went for a job, we discovered that there was these personnel policies, and it included guidelines for things like work hours, right? Vacation time. There's also punitive things that could happen, tardinesses or absences, and the process you were supposed to do there. What your work hours were, when you were expected to be there. It would include maybe health care benefits. It would include if you had a company vehicle, there were rules for using those. Now, personnel policies can also describe prohibited behaviors, which can trip us up. And they almost so may say, you're allowed to do this. Now, some of them are required by law, where we have to have them in there. And others are ones that are particular to a given employer. It may outline a way to submit grievances, or how you're going to deal with promotions, a process for complaints. All these different things can be bundled in there. Some are really simple. In fact, one of my favorites, and I learned this years ago, is Nordstrom's. And Nordstrom's explained this, his gentleman's name is Dan Evans, and he told Business Insider, our employee handbook is a single card that says, ready? Use good judgment in all situations. Period. Six words. Now, contrast that with the United Methodist Book of Discipline job description and information as it relates to being a pastor. For clergy, it's nearly 100 pages, and I follow every single one of those guidelines. I don't even know what they all are. I think I do. Nobody's called me and said I'm not. See, and when they're written out, right, people will grab them when they want to have a conversation with you about something you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, so they've actually read them. But the rest of the time, people really don't pick them up. And some of the policies aren't written out. Anybody remember any of those that someone came up to you when you did something and they said, that's not how we do it here. And you're like, well, nobody ever told me that. I just did. One of the ones I learned early on was where to put my name tag when I'm out in public. On the right side, everybody goes, why? Well, because when you extend your hand as a handshake, it actually moves your name closer to them. I didn't know that. I was fascinated by these things. Anyone here ever a wait staff or a cook? Raise your hand. Anybody? Well, when I did that, when I was growing up, there was instructions on how to cook certain foods. In fact, there was even a video back before videos became everywhere. There was a VHS tape that we were required to watch on how to make the signature hamburger. Now, they didn't have guidelines like that for everything. For example, battering onion rings. Somebody showed me how to do it. I assumed they knew what they were doing, so I learned. And then later on, after I had experience, I showed other people how to do it. I tend to be a person who tries to find a quicker way to do things. And so I have no idea if I was following the guidelines or not, but the people after me did it the way I did it. And that's what happens to us, you know, everybody who works. Even if you're self-employed, we all have policies that we labor under, agreements that we have with our clients or the people we're helping. They may be written and they may be not, but you better follow them. And so this summer, we've been sort of doing that same thing here, is looking at selfies and what it means to be us. And we looked at grace back in July. We looked at the mission of the church. We looked at the nature of the church. And then the ways that we are the church, through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Now, you've seen these pictures throughout the summer, right? And if any of them are you and you see them posted, this is the last Sunday of the selfie. So if there's a picture of you that you want to take, feel free. Because the more you take down, the fewer we have to take down. But take those home, put them up in a place of prominence, at least on your refrigerator for, you know, a short time period. All of the things that we've been talking about reflect the labor of disciples, doesn't it? It's those who follow Christ. That's who we are. Now, there's some people who believe here's the basic rule for following Christ. Be nice to everybody. It's that simple, right? There are other people who believe that it is their responsibility to call out everybody else who's not doing it right, to judge them, to hold them accountable, to tell them why they're wrong. God's policy is really not either of those things. God wants us to be good, but God doesn't want us to just stop at being good, save simply for making the world a better place. That's not what we're called to do. And we're not called to make judgmental proclamations against people to keep them in line. God's policy, God wants us as disciples of Jesus to take up our cross and follow. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. See, our gospel reading from Luke today that Greg shared with us, there's some challenging guidelines for being a disciple and working as a servant of Christ. You have this huge crowd following Jesus, and supposedly it was because they wanted to become workers in the kingdom of God. And so Jesus turned to them and gave them part of their job description. Said, here's what you have to do. So if you can't leave behind your family, your possessions, maybe even your own life, this is work that you may want to think twice about doing. And see, I just wanted to be nice or judge people. That would be so much easier, wouldn't it? This is a challenge. And when you look at what it says, Jesus is saying, hate your families. Now, before you think it gives you the okay to hate people, I don't want to hear anybody running around this week saying, well, my pastor and the Bible tells me I can hate as long as I follow Jesus. That's not what this passage means. So don't, none of that, okay? Are we clear? Because hate in the Greek doesn't mean the way we think of it, where it's that despising, that just can't stand the person and you just, they're vile to you. It's not what it means. What this passage means is what Jesus wants us to do is to detach from ourselves, to separate from ourselves, and to separate from those people because we're following Christ. There's going to be a tension, right? You're going to have people who look at you and say, why have you made this a priority? Why is following Christ so important to you? Why are you at church every Sunday? And why are you spending all this time praying and reading the Bible? You could be out on the golf course. Well, there's lots of prayers on the golf course. But, you know, why do you want to hang out with church people? They don't have any fun. Why do you want to work out in the heat on a Saturday to help somebody else? Why do you want to lead a youth group event? What's the point? And see, when people look at us, there are going to be times where they say, you're choosing something that's inconvenient. It's bothersome. Why are you doing all this to follow Christ? Why aren't you just taking the easy way? It's not what we're called to do. Jesus said, if you want to work for the kingdom, you're going to carry a cross. Now, we've heard this phrase before, right? That's my cross to bear. I have arthritis. The basement flooded. The refrigerator broke. I'm tired all the time. That's my cross to bear. But when the people who followed Jesus, the way we should hear that, it was common back in the day. The Jewish people, when they heard, carry your cross, they knew that that meant they were under control, being guided by a greater power. And usually it was a power that wasn't kind to them. They were being treated unfairly under someone else's authority. And it was an oppressive power. And even Jesus was forced to carry a cross. And see, Jesus flipped that and was saying, those who want to follow me should carry their cross willingly. You're not being forced to do it. You have to say, yes, I'm willing to submit to God's authority. I'm willing to say no to me, to my self-interest, and I'm willing to say yes to God and what God wants from me. I mean, this is discipleship, bearing the cross. The picture up here is a yoke on two oxen working in the field. And when we're bearing that cross, we're doing the will of Christ. We were saved by Christ. Fortunately, the amazing thing here is that this cross bearing that we're doing, we were promised that it's sacrificial, but it's going to be a little bit easier. And it's going to be easier because, as Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 11, 29 and 30, he says this, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, a yoke team of animals, when they're pulling together that plow or cart. And sharing the yoke with Christ, it lightens our load. It keeps us moving in the same direction as Christ's will. And see, when we lift our cross and carry it, Christ is there carrying it with us, sharing that burden with us. We are not alone. I mean, this is amazing news. This is the good news. And Jesus, who's offered to be present throughout our entire lives, guiding us, he said and promised in Matthew 28 that he would always be with us, always be with those who are following him, even to the end of the age. Bearing my cross for Christ is both my challenge and my comfort. I've learned in laboring as a pastor that I get pulled in a lot of different directions. I'm an administrator, a manager, I have a boss, I have another boss, and I have another boss, and I have another boss. I could keep going. I got a lot of bosses. I'm a chaplain. I'm called to be a visionary and share my ideas. I'm called to be a leader. I'm called to be a follower. I'm called to speak. And I'm called to be quiet. That one can be a challenge for me sometimes. But I have to ask myself, at the heart, what is my purpose? Why am I doing this? And Jesus responds to me quietly, gently, and says, you're to do my will. You are to make disciples. And I think that the burden of doing that would be too great to bear, to have to keep pushing through this greater calling, if not for you, if not for the love of Christ and the God-given ways that I'm sustained every day. And at the end of the day, though, we all have to ask this question, have I carried the cross? Whose will has won this day? Mine or my Savior's? See, Jesus points to this when he challenges would-be followers to be clear of their purpose. See, we have the tools, and we're called to use them. We've talked about that. Each of us, as disciples of Christ, we are the church. We've talked about it all summer, and we're going to keep talking about it. Whether we're praying, worshiping together, sharing our financial or spiritual gifts, serving others in the name of Christ, telling people our story, These are all practices that focus us on what it means to be a disciple. It focuses us and connects us to God's grace, to God's will. And when we commit our lives to Christ, to God, to others, we're changed. Now, if you don't know what that means for you, this fall, starting next week, you'll be able to sign up and experience groups, classes, service opportunities, ways to connect and to grow as a disciple. You'll see those booklets out. Our Becoming Whole booklets will be out next week. Take that opportunity to grow in discipleship. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. See, today we're celebrating Labor Day. It's Labor Day weekend. It's not just a long weekend where you get to have an extra day off. We're remembering and the work that we do, the work that others do. We're celebrating those who have worked and who will work in the future. We give God thanks for all that we've been given, right? The work of our hands, our hearts, our heads, all the different ways that we produce, the skills we've been given that we've honed, the other ones that we've learned, and other ones that we learned we don't have, and that's okay. Because together, we're accomplishing more through this lifetime of labor for Christ. And I want you to imagine this as you enjoy this long weekend. What if your focus on labor was carrying your cross? And not as a burden, which a lot of us use that terminology as, but with hope and joy. Imagine how it would change. How would our individual lives change? How would the lives of this people in this community, in this church, change if we took that cross up with joy? So today, tomorrow, celebrate your labor. Celebrate your labor of Christ taking up the cross. Remember and tell those stories. And then take a minute and remember what it means of labor for Christ. Carry that cross with joy. Please join me in prayer for this Labor Day. Ever creating God, in your image our lives are made. You labored over creation and brought all things into being. On this Labor Day Sunday, we recognize your creating labor and call it very good. In your glory, we offer all the work of our hearts and hands and minds. Lead us to labor in a way that demonstrates our faith in you, empowers us to labor with patience, integrity, and diligence. Use us to labor for peace and justice in your kingdom. Blessed are you, O God, now and forever. Amen.